Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm coming to you from Mumias, Kenya today, and I'm recording this the first time here in Kenya this summer. And so we look forward to bringing you more messages as the summer goes on, and I'll be traveling some and hope to bring you the messages as I travel and have a good, fresh word from the Lord for you each and every week. And just to give you a little update on what's going on over here in Africa, we have been working out at the Living Water Orphanage site the last couple of months, and we've had great progress made the last 3-4 months. We've had several different phases of construction completed, and we're ready for the final phase. We're putting in the electrical wiring and the floor tiles, the ceiling boards, and then paint the interior, and that will be the finishing up of the construction. We need about $14,000 to finish the final phase of construction, and then when we get that done, we'll be ready to stock the house. It's a beautiful house. I wish you all could see it. Maybe I'll take a video of it and give you a video tour here in the next couple of weeks, but we have a great house built. It's going to serve as a home for 40 orphan children, and there's one wing that will be the dormitory for the girls on one side, and the other side will be a wing for the boys. We'll have about 20 of each in each wing, and then there's a staff quarters, a reception area, a nice kitchen and food prep area, and then there'll be a big veranda all the way across the front that will also be tiled and be beautiful for the children to sit out there and do their homework or study or just listen to the birds. There's lots of trees around, and also it'll be a nice shady place to get out of the hot Kenya sun in the afternoon. And so it's going to be a beautiful home. We have the home sitting on 4 acres of land, and we were just fortunate to have an American team, 6 people here on the American team that came to work on the orphanage. They painted, they scraped walls and sanded walls, prepared them for paint. And then we also spent 2 days in the maize harvest, picking the ears of corn and shelling out the ears and picking up the stalks and windrowing the stalks. And so the 4th day they spent at the Living Water New Hope Preschool, which is in Mayoni, a village near the orphanage site. And then we went to a prison in Katali in West Kenya. We went to a women's prison there and ministered 1 day there toward the end of the week. And so we just had a great time with the American team. I was sad to see them go, as always. It's bittersweet because they did such a great job here. I wanted to keep them here, but I knew that they had to go. And so that's the nature of short-term missions. You get very attached to people, and they get attached to the work and to the people here, the love of the people in Kenya. And so we're going to be offering more short-term missions in the years ahead and in the days ahead. I have a team coming in January or February. It looks like they're forming up to come over here. They want to do some preaching maybe in various prisons and also work at the orphanage site. And then also we have a team that is looking forward to coming next summer. If you'd be interested in any of those times, just drop me an email, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we'll let you know what the itinerary looks like, what the prospects are. And so each of you can look forward to coming if you would like. And don't think that it's a mission that you can't accomplish. Many have come so far, but there will be many, many more coming on the days ahead. And also don't let lack of money or perceived lack of money be a barrier to you to come over here. Many have raised the funds they need, about $3,500 for the trip. Many have raised the funds they need in a short time. It's really amazing how the body of Christ chips in and gets behind these mission trips, these short-term trips. I've had a couple of people that they were given big checks, $3,000, $3,500. Nearly all of the fundraising was done with the help of 1 or 2 donors. And so it is very possible for you to come. It's very doable, and with God, all things are possible. So don't think that you can't do it. Don't think that it's too far of a reach for you, and you will be blessed immensely. You will be blessed even more than the Kenyans here who receive the major blessing, but you will receive the double portion blessing. If you leave your home, leave your farm, leave your business, leave that which is important to you, the scripture says that you will receive that 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing in this day and in the age to come, and along with it, persecutions. And so as you are blessing those that you're ministering to, you also are blessed because you have left those things that are important to you and that have hold and attachments on you. You have left those things and sacrificed to do the work of the kingdom. And so that's what the short-term missions are all about. And we love to have these teams come over. They can see firsthand what's going on. They can see firsthand what a joy and a blessing it is to work with these Kenyan people. And so that is my desire, to continue to bring at least two teams a year, maybe possibly more. As we get the orphanage home established, we may need more help. We may need help for people to stay here long term, or for people to come here and study alongside us to enhance their kingdom knowledge and their desire to serve the Lord. As this program airs and you hear it there in Kansas, we are also in Tanzania doing a crusade with Bonnie Mwitegi, a great worship leader from Tanzania, and several other worship leaders that are in Tanzania. And we're conducting a five-day crusade here in Dar es Salaam, the big city on the coast, the big peaceful harbor, they call it, the city with the beautiful white sand beaches. And Dar es Salaam is a city of 6 million people. And so we're wrapping up today with a five-day crusade. And I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. In a couple of days, I'm going back to Nairobi. I'll be there for about 2 to 3 weeks in Kenya, and then coming back to Burundi for another crusade. Burundi is a small country south of Rwanda, and I'll be there for about a week and conducting a 3 to 4 day crusade with a pastor conference in Ngozi, a city that I've been to a couple of times, and it's outside of Bujumbura, a couple hours east of Bujumbura, the capital city. And so I'll be in Ngozi conducting a crusade, and then go back to Kenya for the remainder of the fall. So keep me lifted up in prayer. Keep my team, there's several that work with me on a steady basis, keep them lifted up in prayer. And as you do that, you will be blessed. I thank you for your intercession. I thank you for your love for this ministry. And we'll have some contact information at the end of the program. And so stay tuned for that. And you can join in with many others all across the country to support this ministry and see the kingdom of God move forward here on the continent of Africa. Well, today I'm going to be speaking about a life committed to service. And as believers, that is our desire, to commit ourselves to a life of service, serving the Lord Jesus, serving our Father God, Jehovah God, and serving the Holy Spirit and abiding with the Holy Spirit as we serve. And so this is a very appropriate topic for all believers. God wants you to serve. He wants you to consider the needs of others. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I want to encourage you to get out there and serve. If you're not, and this message will be serving to encourage you to serve and to acknowledge that that is God's will for your life. He didn't just save you so that you could say you're saved and then sit around and do nothing. He saved you so that you could share the good news of the gospel with others who don't know it. Just like at some point you didn't know the gospel, somebody made the sacrifice, somebody took the time, the effort, the expense to bring the gospel to you. And so that is God's will for your life also, that you turn around and share the good news with others. Well, we have our mandate, our commission. If you don't know this commission, you should memorize it. Matthew 28:19, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he told them, "Go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. So there are three things that we need to do, four things there that we need to do. Number one is go. You can't get the job done sitting in your living room unless you're incapacitated or have some kind of disability that allows you, that does not allow you to go. You need to look for opportunities. You need to pray and ask God for open doors so that you can go to those who need to know the gospel. Beloved, I was not looking for a trip to Africa. I had no desire to come to Africa. And when God gave me a dream and showed me he wanted me to take the good news of the gospel to Africa, I was prepared because I'd been preaching out at the prison. He was spending all those years with me out there at the prison. And many times I went in on a Friday night or a Sunday afternoon and had no one else even knew that I was in there. Outside of the inmates, there was nobody on the earth that even knew I was going or cared about it. God knew, and God kept me sustained all those years. I preached out there for 15 years or so before I came to Africa. And so God was preparing me for this, but God is preparing you right now, beloved. He is preparing you to do something great in the kingdom. He's preparing you to do something that you've never done before, to take the good news of the gospel. And I don't know what your personal story is, your personal testimony, but I can tell you this. He wants you to stretch out and do something great for the kingdom. He wants you to stretch out and to move out. And so therefore, go unto all the nations. Well, you say, well, I can't go to the nations. Maybe I don't have a passport, or maybe I'm afraid of sickness or whatever. Get over those things. Just step out. Stretch out, faith out, and go do those things that God calls you to do. If you don't have a passport, I urge you, go down to the post office and get your picture taken and have a passport made for your name so that when the door opens up, you can go to the nations. And if you don't have a passport, it's a very nominal fee. $85 will get you one. It'll last you for 10 years. And that will be your first step when you step out in faith and say, God, I need a passport. I need a passport. I need my picture taken. I know you're going to send me somewhere. And so just as Isaiah said in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, he said, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then God sent an angel to bring a hot coal to sear Isaiah's lips. He took him up in the spirit to heaven, and he seared his lips, and he cleansed his lips, and he purified his lips. And he was preparing him then to speak to the children of Israel, to speak the truth as a prophet to the children of Israel. And so prepare yourself. Beloved, go out and get yourself a new pair of shoes and get ready to move out and do something great for the kingdom. Go down to the post office, get your picture taken, get a passport made, and get ready to go to the nations, because God wants you to take the good news of the gospel to the nations. So he says, go to the nations and then baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, baptism represents the washing of our sins away by Jesus Christ's blood. And so we're cleansed to practice righteousness. We're cleansed to do the right things of God by the blood of Jesus. And so we have baptism as a representation of that cleansing and the symbolic identification of our walk with his death, burial, and resurrection. And so as we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's a recognition of the Trinity. It's a recognition of the fact that we are ambassadors for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are acting on their behalf. You might say we have been deputized on their behalf. And so we don't go out under our own authority. We go out under the authority of Jehovah God and Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And beloved, when you're going out under their authority and under their power and the anointing that they give you, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. Yes, we stumble and we make mistakes, but ultimately you cannot fail, because God's word is behind you, and his word shall not come back to him void. He promises that when his word goes out, it will come back to him, and it will come back with promise, and it will come back with a reward, and it will come back and it will bring the purpose with it for which it was sent. And so when you go out with the word, you know that you are acting on behalf of a team, the Trinity, the Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You're acting on behalf of the team that cannot fail. It cannot fail because God is over all, Jesus Christ. Through him, all things were made, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God living within us. And so we're to baptize, and then he says, teach all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so we teach. That is the reason we study the Bible, is so we can be good teachers. If you're going to be a diesel mechanic, you need to study the diesel mechanic books. If you're going to be a CPA, you need to go to school to learn to be a CPA and an accountant. And so it is with teaching the gospel. You need to study the roadmap. You need to study the blueprint, the book, and that is the gospel. Yes, it's great to read other books by other authors. It's great to read concordances and also commentaries by other people. When I first started preaching, I would sit down with two or three commentaries and a concordance and look up in Strong's Concordance the Greek names of words and the Greek definitions and the Hebrew definitions of words. And it's very good to do all that, to study, to show yourself approved and a workman who is not ashamed to handle rightly or divide rightly the Word of God. And so as you teach, you study, as you study, you teach. And as you become more confident in your walk with the Lord, then you're able to do a better job of teaching. Your teaching will be sound. It will be based on sound doctrine and wisdom and understanding that God gives you so that you can do a good job of teaching. Many people, even here in Kenya, they have Bibles, but they don't study their Bibles, and therefore they're very deficient doctrinally. And they don't have a good understanding of many of the scriptures. They don't study. They go to church on Sunday and they dance around. They praise the Lord, which is great. I'm all for that. But they don't really study much during the week. They don't read their Bibles, and therefore many of them are doctrinally weak. Well, we're the same way in America. We have Bibles in our homes. We have Christian TV, Christian radio, conferences all over the place, all kinds of books, millions and millions of books people have in their homes, and yet many people don't really know what the Bible says. They're doctrinally deficient, and therefore they can't really defend with good doctrinal sound teaching. They can't really defend the Christian faith, and they're at a loss to teach others how to become better Christians. And so it is God's will that we teach. It is God's will that we teach properly, correctly, sound doctrine, and that others then can benefit from the teaching that we give them. And then Jesus says, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Beloved, Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It doesn't matter how low you get, how far down in the ditch you get, Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be there with you every step of the way. And beloved, I've been there. I've been to that low point in my life, even to the point of death. And I'm sure many of you have been there as well. This day and age, it's a common thing for people to get off sidetracked into the wilderness area and have besetting sins, drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, all those things take you away from God's plan for your life, take you away from your destiny. But Jesus says, beloved, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you even unto the end of the age. Well, we're not at the end of the age yet. We're maybe getting close, but nobody knows for sure. Jesus may not come back for another 10, 20, 100 years, 300 years. We don't know. But in the meantime, we are to occupy and we are to watch and we are to stay vigilant, and we are to stay busy, and we are to go to all the nations and share the good news of the gospel. Okay, so then also we have the Mark 16:15 Great Commission, which is a version of the Great Commission also that was spoken there in Matthew chapter 28. And so this is just a little bit different take on it. Jesus is saying to the disciples, go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Well, if you need practice, go out there and preach to the trees, or you can go into the prison. They're always welcoming preachers in the prison. It's a great place to get started preaching. If you've not had any experience leading a Bible study or preaching, go into the prison. The guys there are always anxious to have volunteers come in. It's a great place to get started. That's where I started, and I could start right away. I didn't have to go back to Bible school. I didn't have to get any kind of credentials. I just went in there, and by the grace of God, I was able to teach and preach, and by the grace of God, the men received, and so you can do that as well. So Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so we offer people the choice to make, either to believe or to not believe. It's really a very simple choice. You either believe what the gospel says, you either believe the words of Jesus, or you don't. I tell people here in Africa, there's only two kinds of people in the world, and they're not black and white, they're not red and white, they're not different colors and white. They are saved and unsaved. That's the only two kinds of people there are in the world. There's people going to heaven, on their way to heaven, and they are saved. They have made a confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking here just about God, because many people believe in God. If you talk to them about believing God, they say, yes, I believe God. But when it comes right down to it, their concept of God is different than the God, Jehovah God, of the Bible. And we say that Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, is the only God. He is one. He is the one true living God. And he has a son, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so many of the religions of the world, they believe in God, their version of God, and yet they don't have an understanding of Jesus Christ, the suffering Savior, the Lord of our life, and his blood that was shed for us, the blood atonement that was sacrificed for us. And so if you don't believe that you're a sinner and you don't understand the need for the Savior's blood to wash your sins clean, then you have a false concept of God and a false understanding of the Christian faith. So Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And so you see there, he says, he who believes, that comes first before the baptism, because it takes place in your heart. The belief takes place in your heart first. That's where the transformation takes place first, is in your heart. And then you go to the baptistry waters and you are baptized to show the world and to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And so the condemnation is on those who do not believe. They do not have that condemnation lifted off of them. That condemnation came from the fall of Adam. When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, condemnation then came upon all the human race from that point on, even to this very day. And so those who don't believe have not had that condemnation lifted off of them. Those that do believe then are walking in freedom. It is for freedom that Christ sets you free. Therefore, don't take that yoke of slavery upon you again, that freedom that comes from knowing that our sins are taken away from us, that we can walk in righteousness, that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we could know the righteousness of God. And so as we then have that condemnation removed off of us, then that joy and that freedom that comes propels us and compels us and motivates us to go and share the good news of the gospel with those in the other nations. And then Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Well, what's he saying there? They will cast out demons. indicating the authority that Jesus has over the demonic realm, the authority that Jesus has over the kingdom of the devil. And also they will speak with new tongues, the joy of knowing Jesus. They will speak with new tongues. They will speak as a new creation. And also they will be given their spirit language as they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They will receive their spirit language and have a new tongue, which is the language of the Holy Spirit, with which to unite them to other believers all over the world. Well, we're going to continue this series here next week, how to have a life committed to service, and why were you saved, what was the purpose for which you were saved. And so we're going to continue that next time, and I thank you again for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed this message, and we're going to look forward to bringing you more messages here from Africa this summer. Stay tuned for contact information. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to have you sit down and pray about your contribution to Gather the Outcast Ministry. We're doing great work here in Africa, and so we appreciate your prayers and your support. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.